Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine of this soon, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Good evening, people of Earth. This is your host calling, chatting to you live on the whole internet thing, and I just wanted to take a small moment and say, have you considered the future? Have you thought about where the world will be taking you tomorrow? Do you have a plan of action ready to go when the things start to hit the little circular motion going down that toilet bowl? I guess not, because that's kind of the impression I get. Because, you know, I watch Facebook, and everybody on Facebook has got all these ideas. Like, yeah, we're going to survive the apocalypse, and everything's going to be good, and everything's been great, and everything's going to be groovy. And we're all going to be fine. It's like, and then you're afraid of a spider.
Hey, spiders are creepy.
Hi, EW.
Hello.
Spiders can be creepy, especially if you watch a movie like a movie called Big Ass Spider, which I haven't seen yet, but I want to watch it.
All I can say is walk through a spider web and you'll see people dance better than they've ever danced in their entire life.
Do you know what? I don't walk through a spider web. Do you know why? I put my hand in front of my face and it goes, oh, slice. I know where the spider webs are because it's like, oh, spider web on my front door? Yeah, that happens. Okay. Hand out, psh, cut, slice. No spider webs in my face. If I'm going to be walking through creepy, weird place, underground, in the whatever, I'm putting my hand out and cutting through, not getting in my face.
I will take you to some places here in Texas that you can walk through, and it's not your face that's always where those spider webs are going to be.
Okay, so wear a full body condom, no big. They're available. There are variations available.
I know, there's got to be a reason for it. There you go.
Yeah, you can always wear a bee helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things are awesome for that sort of thing.
This is true. I actually have worn that before, and I'm telling you what, even though they're to stop the bees from stinging you, you just cannot help but dodge and weave every time you hear that buzz by your ear.
Buzz, 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 buzz. But, so, this is episode 81 of After Rot. Do you know what that means?
You've been on the air for 81 episodes.
Which is almost 81 weeks.
Which is over 1 year.
Booyah!
Yeah.
And do you know what? We're going to talk about a couple of movies to start the show off, because that's what we do here on this show. And I don't know if you've heard of these movies, but I think you probably have. None of these movies have zombies in them either.
What?
Yep. This is 2 weeks in a row. No zombie movies.
I'm actually not surprised because I haven't really seen much for zombie releases.
Oh, I got a couple of zombie movies in the queue ready to go that I'm planning on watching probably this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I don't know for sure, but I think they're going to be playing, so I might be able to watch them and check it out. But We watched a movie called The Man of Tai Chi.
I think I know that one, actually.
That was a surpriser for me. Because originally when seeing it, it's like, oh my god, it's Keanu Reeves. What the hell? He's doing another Kung Fu style movie? Jeez, dude. I'd use some other language, bad swearing words, but people might know what they mean. So, dude, Keanu Reeves. I was pleasantly surprised with this movie. He's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really dark style movie, which you wouldn't think necessarily being having a guy who is a Tai Chi guy to being the hero in the movie. It has a great twist towards the end of the movie. I don't want to spoil it, but it has this great story behind it, and it's got depth behind it. It's actually got some, let's call it, intelligence behind the story and the character creation. You can watch this one guy who's the main, I don't know his name, it's in Chinese, I believe, and I can't really pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. but it's really a story about him trying to make something out of Tai Chi. And Tai Chi is not exactly what you would consider a fighting style of combat, right? Tai Chi is more a method of life, a way of living and bringing a harmony into your life and your lifestyle, not a matter of, hey, him bad, punch him.
Right.
However, Tai Chi is a martial art, and it does have a methodology behind it that does work as a martial art. It's all about use, like judo does, where it uses all of the momentum of your opponent against him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually go out of your way to try and hit them. You just basically, oh, okay, you're coming at me? Fine, I'll just duck and push you away and let you go.
Right.
But the ultimate essence behind Tai Chi is to harness that energy within yourself and use that to change the world or whatever. But so this whole movie is about Keanu Reeves is a rich white dude who is obviously strangely investing in some weird fighting stuff and is following this one guy who wants to bring him in to the whole fight sequence. And then he sells off views on the web for the whole fighting aspect, as well as other elements to this entertainment channel medium thing. I don't want to explain too much of it, because if I explain too much of it, it gives away part of the story. And part of the whole joy in watching this movie is that realization towards the end is like, holy geez, really? That's wicked. And that's a really enjoyable movie. Keanu Reeves comes across as a good bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised. Like, he's usually Mr. Deadpan. I don't really like him. He looks like a stone.
Right.
Really hated him in the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. Thought that was garbage from him.
It was not a great choice of film, no.
It was the perfect film for him because he has that face. He has that stance and he has that ability to create and throw in a stoic demeanor. But he turned in a terrible performance in that movie. Oh, mind you, it was also poor directing on it, but some of the choices they made for the overall, hey, doom and gloom, oh, it's an ecological whatever, that whole thing was just really skewed poorly as far as I was concerned in a movie. But in this movie, he's not in it front and foremost all the time. He's sort of like the bad guy working behind the scenes, and then he gets right into it in the end.
Right.
It's good. He does have a fight scene. And I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be, oh, they're going to do like, what's his face? Steven Seagal. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm hot and hot tops. And he only does his upper body, because Aikido is about a lot more than just upper body, but Seagal only does upper body movements.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lame. Totally lame. Lame, like fire on a fire stick lame.
Okay.
Like, Seagal is lame. I don't have nothing to say to him except lame. But going into the movie thinking, okay, Matrix, awesome. Then all these other really kind of not so good Chinese kung fu type movies. And then, ooh, that was a really good fight scene. Because they make him look big and strong. Mm-hmm. And so you bring the beast move into it, and he has the ability to project, I am big, strong guy. And that really worked for him, as far as his fight scene. Dude face that fights him, though, Tai Chi gets his Zen moment, and is like, dude, I kick your ass, sort of thing. So that was a really surprisingly well-done, good, cool, kung fu-style movie. I was so surprised, and I enjoyed it immensely, and I will recommend it highly to everybody. If you want to watch a good kung fu movie, that one does it.
I've heard a lot of great reviews on that one, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a little bit like Mortal Kombat, but done well.
Yeah, right?
And I love Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat was a fun movie. It was stupid. It was funny. It was just...
The first one was great.
Fun. Yeah, the second one was lame.
Yeah.
However...
Only thing good about the second one was there was a lot better special effects than the first one, but... You know.
Sure.
Well, I mean, come on. You got the realistics of, per the video game, Scorpion and Sub-Zero fight. You know.
Did you ever see the third one?
I didn't know there was a third one. I know they were making one, but I have not seen the third one.
10-12 minute online adaptation.
I'm gonna have to look for it.
What's her face? Jeri Ryan is in it.
Oh, you know I gotta watch it now. Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of guest star cameos in it, and it's really just a. I really wish they'd gone the full-fledged and made it a full-long movie, because it would have been great as a vignette-style movie with a bunch of heavy dudes involved into it. But the 10-12-minute thing, a short movie or whatever, is really just a Johnny Cage. He's dead, and then the other guy who's in prison is supposed to try and find out who killed him, and then there's a thing. Well, it was really well done, but it's like a really short movie. So, how much far can you go on that? It's like, okay, whatever.
Rumor is they are trying to come back with a remake.
They've been saying that for 7 years.
Yeah, well, I got an update just the other day that they got funding. So,
I'll believe that when I see it in the movie still.
Well, you know, it's still going to take time. There's a lot of CGI that they did in the first one. It's just like that World of Warcraft movie. They do have the funding for it, but again, they don't have a release date because of the fact that it's going to take a lot of computer work.
Mm-hmm. Well, World of Warcraft will definitely have to, because it's a full-on fantasy environment.
Yeah.
And you're going to be competing against Peter Jackson's The Hobbit this year round, and next year round, and the year round after that. Smog!
Guess what's out on DVD already?
It's been out for a while.
Oh, really? I just saw it for the first time.
Oh, yeah. The Hobbit Extended Edition has been out for a couple months.
Oh, see? I'm behind.
Seriously. You know what came out yesterday, though, that's kind of cool?
What?
SimCity. New version of SimCity.
I'm
going to pick it up eventually. I didn't pick it up last night, though.
Yeah, I've never played it, so I don't know what it's like.
You know how I like to... The video games I like to play are world-conquering, take-over-the-world type games, right?
Right, right.
So this is similar in that, but basically you're building a city from the ground up. You start building it, blah, 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 to get bigger, 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 and then you can have the best and coolest city in the world, or with the challenge they've got going on, the dirtiest city in the world.
Interesting.
Dirty electricity, massive sewage dumps, industrial, blah, 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 blah. And it looks pretty cool and pretty fun. I just have to get around. I just don't have the time to play video games like I used to.
Yeah, I hear that. I haven't even paid for my subscription on World of Warcraft, so...
Nope.
I haven't played it for, what, about a month now.
Well, cool. There you go. So, I got a phone call yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And this was kind of freaky for me once I realized, like, oh, right. So I sometimes get called by market research firms to conduct market research topics. You get paid a stipend to go in and talk about stuff or listen to what they've got to pitch and then give your opinions and stuff on it, right?
Right.
It's cool. It's fun. I haven't done it in a while. But then I got the interview yesterday. It's like, oh, and are you part of any radio shows? I'm like, shit, I am.
Yeah, that screws you over.
So
now.
I'm now disqualified from doing a lot of those because you're not supposed to be part of a marketing firm or PR agency or anything that has the ability to influence people's impressions on stuff. It's like, crap, I can't do those anymore.
Yep.
Oh, well. I just thought that was rather amusing yesterday, and the anecdote of it was like, yeah, okay. But there are still ones open to me, so we'll do that again.
Yeah.
So, my number two movie this week was Machete Kills.
Oh, really?
Fun movie.
It had to have been. I saw
a very fun movie.
It was awesome. The previews were awesome.
Lady Gaga's in this one.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked with that. I saw the preview, well, not a preview, but like a little sneak peek of her, and I didn't recognize her at first.
Well, that was kind of the point. But she's not in it for very long. She's only in it for a few minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was a star-studded film. So, you know, you got to keep within the budget. And, you know, every star that's there has probably got a short moment.
Well, you've got these main crazy guest stars. Cuba Gooding Jr. I don't remember the first guy that he showed up as. Cuba Gooding Jr. Then it was Lady Gaga. Then it was Antonio Ben.
No, there was somebody else after Antonio. Antonio Banderas was there, and there was some other guy as well. But this one character has this one thing, and it morphs into each of these individual guest stars, which was cool. It was a neat little violent kind of messy thing. But it's just chock full of, wow, that's not plausible, but that's funny. The one scene, machete, this guy's coming at him, he's got his machete. Of course he's got his machete, his name is Machete. He's like, hey, I'm looking at the electrical panel. Stunk into the electrical panel and stunk into the guy coming out. Okay, well, he's going to get electrified too if he were to do that.
Right.
It's like, okay, kind of a little stupid, silly shit like that. That was kind of fun. And then, oh, bring me my double Ds. Here's your bra. And then yes. The bra is actually a minigun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her character is hilarious. I don't remember her name. It's Sofia Vergara, something like that.
I can't
hot
say.
Hot chick. That. A very hot, amazingly stunning, beautiful woman. Funny as hell. She steals the show every time she showed up in it.
Well, you know who she is, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, she's in a TV series called Modern Family.
I don't watch that stuff.
Well, I don't either, but I mean, I kept track of Machete because one of my friends was the stuntman on him.
Oh, cool. What did he stunt for?
He told me a couple of explosion scenes and...
There's a lot of explosions in this movie.
Yeah, I know. It was like, dude, really? You got to tell me which one? I can't tell you yet. And I was like, no. So I had to wait until the movie came out before he could tell me.
Okay. But yeah, there's a lot of explosions in this movie. There is a lot of over-the-top, really? No, never happened like that. But that's funny. I think there's the one Charlie Sheen scene, tell you that many times. Where he's in bed and the phone rings and one girl hands it over to the next girl and hands it over to the next girl and hands it over to the next girl and hands it over to him.
Phone for you, Mr. President.
Yes, by the way, Charlie Sheen is the President of the United States. Yo.
Yes.
What else? I really liked how the movie started off, which was with how many W words can you throw in at one time? A few, apparently. Which was with a parody, again, like they did in the first movie, of the next Machete movie, which is Machete Kills Again in Space. And I will so want to watch that movie, because they put enough preview sort of thingy into the movie to say, they made that already, didn't they? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If they haven't finished it off in principal shooting, they've probably finished principal and have moved to, okay, post-production now, and I'm sure it'll be out around this time next year.
Possibly.
If I could bet on it, I would bet money, and I would be happy to rake in the wins on that, because I'm fairly confident that it would win.
You know that when Robert Rodriguez first got the Machete...
parody.
Going on, it wasn't because it was a movie.
No, it was a parody commercial between the Grindhouse movies.
Well, it was also supposed to be one of the commercials in the God, what's his name? From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay, they didn't do any in Dusk Till Dawn.
They were on the very first one. There's one playing in the bar.
Okay.
And it's really short. It's really quick. And a lot of people wanted to know, what is that? What is that movie? We want to see it. Which is supposed to be the birth of Machete.
Okay. That's cool. But do you remember the Grindhouse movies, Planet Terror and Death Proof, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And do you know how many movies were in that parody intro bit in the middle that actually have been made into movies?
You know what? No, I don't. I never really thought about counting them out.
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Uh-huh.
Machete.
Yeah.
What was the third one? Oh, man, I saw the third one, too. There's a third one. So there's five. She-Wolves of the SS. That was the Rob Zombie one. So there were five of those parody commercials in the middle. Three of them have actually become movies.
Well, I'll be.
The other two, Don't and Thanksgiving... Yeah, it was a Thanksgiving thing as well. Those two never got made into movies, which is a shame, because they would have been funny as hell, too. I mean, one of them was done by the Shaun of the Dead guy, Simon Pegg, and what's-his-face, whose name I always forget, but it's the other guy. And then the other one was, I think, done by the guys... No, I'm thinking Hobo with a Shotgun Night. They did the tree. If you want to watch a really good Christmas movie, do you want to watch a good Christmas movie? Hey, chat room, paying attention, listen up on this. Really great Christmas movie, if you can find it. This one was done by the same guys who did Hobo with a Shotgun. It's called Treevenge.
Oh.
It's a short movie. It's 12 minutes, whatever. But it's about the Christmas trees attacking back after all the slaughter they put up with.
It was their version of saying they did not like that Mark Wahlberg movie.
The Crappening?
Yeah.
we don't hate that movie. We just thought that movie was kind of lame and boring at the end.
Yeah, but Treevenge is their version of coming back and saying, don't ever do that again.
Other way around. The Crappening came out after Treevenge. Treevenge is like 10 years old.
Oh, is it really that old?
Yeah, it's pretty old.
For some reason, I thought it was sooner.
Nah, it's Hobo with a Shotgun came out with 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So Treevenge was like their first attempt to try and make an actual movie. It was a 10-minute short.
Oh.
Did well at the short movie festivals. It was just a fun movie. I mean, you got a pine tree going around poking through somebody's face and ripping their brain out sort of thing. It's like, I like this movie. This is my kind of Christmas movie. I could watch this for Christmas, and I'd be happy.
Right.
But yeah. So those were my movies of the week. Did you get the chance to watch any movies this week?
I did. There's one I didn't tell you during pre-show, so I get to mention this one. And I got to say, I was really impressed. I kind of foresaw some of the stuff that was going to happen, but...
Don't say Man of Steel.
No. Okay. This one has, of course, Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman, Aaron Eckhart, and Dylan McDermott. And that is actually Olympus Has Fallen.
Not familiar with the movie. Seen the name, haven't seen it.
And I never saw previews on it either, so I was like, eh. You know, if you look into the cover, you see, a flag burning, the White House burning, and it's like, oh, okay, it's another takeover type movie, which it is. But man, it starts off a little slow, and then once the action starts, that's it, and I mean all the way to the very ending credits. It is nonstop action, and I was just like, wow. There was a couple of moments that I thought that was it. That was how it was going to end, or not just totally end, but like, you know, die off from there. No, they found a way to put action and keep going. But basically, the mentality of the story is this one guy, which of course is Gerard Butler's character, kind of fails at something in the beginning. And so he quits being a Secret Service agent for the president, who's Aaron Eckhart. And, there's a, typical presidential thing. That's why I said it kind of slow in the beginning. But the Koreans come in, a group of Koreans come in, and they're thinking it's going to be like, political talks and so forth. But these guys aren't your typical Koreans. And they end up taking over the White House and having the president, captured.
Yeah! Capture the President. That's the new video game I think it's going to be on.
So it was really good. I was really impressed with it. According to what I have seen, there is so far one a nomination for the movie so far, and it's Best Actress. But still, I mean...
That was my official noise, by the way.
Yeah. But it was really good. And I'm a huge action buff. I have to see action. You know, that's why I think Blood is my all-time favorite movie.
But did you ever see the TV show Action?
I'm not joking.
It was a real TV show.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I'd have to see clips again to remember. But
it had the blonde guy in it from... he ended up hosting one of the... comedy reality shows.
That didn't help.
Oh, man, no, I'm trying to remember his name. How about John Woo's Once a Thief, the TV show? That was a good show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
That was Canadian, too.
Yeah.
No, I was really surprised. Most Canadian TV shows, we usually end up thinking, ah, sucky, sucky, poo, poo, poo. But that one I really liked. Victoria Pratt, she was awesome in that show.
1999 TV series?
Yep.
Let's see. I'm bringing it up right now.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Oh, I know which guy you're talking about. Jay Moore?
Yes, that one's it.
Yep. Yeah. No, honestly, this one I did not see.
This was an A&E type TV show. It was at the time when all of the specialty channels started breaking out. HBO had been out for a bit, and now you had A&E coming out. All the drama channels were starting to show up and everything else, and this was one of those forays into, hey, let's try and make some action shows. It's going to play off the action or action! And then whatever. Because around that time, a little while before that, you had Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Fun show. Another show that I liked called Cliffhangers. This was one of the goofiest ideas for a TV show.
So, but it was perfect for the way they did it. It was a cliffhanger of each one.
You have a half-hour show, I think. It's half hour, an hour, whatever. And then you have these three little shows that are ongoing throughout the series, and each one ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It's like, we hate you people!
I'm almost sure J.J. Abrams had to be behind that one.
Probably. Either him or the other guy.
Right?
It's like, but it was a fun show. I mean, it was cornball. It was tongue-in-cheek, and it was like, oh, she's tied up and on the railroad tracks, and the railroad train is coming. What will happen? And find out next week.
Yeah, and you're just like, no!
I want to pick that up on DVD at some point. The other show that used to come out around that time was called Cleopatra 2525.
I started to watch that.
That was very hokey.
Yeah, I think I watched part of the first episode and just stopped.
I have the whole thing on DVD.
See, it's on Netflix, believe it or not. You can watch it on Netflix.
It's funny. You have to get past the first episode because it's like, ooh, you got the bouncy bimbo blonde who's just, well, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you got the other girls. You got Gina Torres in it and Victoria Pratt. And they're very lovely ladies. And at the same time, they're very athletic.
Well, you got your. We gotta explain the movie type. Or
no, we don't. Somewhere. Don't gotta explain nothing. They can look up IMDb themselves.
No. Yeah, I know what you mean, but I mean that's how usually the first episodes are. Oh, we gotta give you the story, and you're just like, really. However, I will say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did not start off like. You know, we got to tell you a story. It just started off where it was. So.
Well, that's because you already know the story. You've seen the movie, Avengers. You know the backstory already. Yeah. If you haven't figured out the backstory on that, watching that show, it's like, then you should not be watching TV.
Exactly.
So it's like, don't worry about that.
Second movie I watched, I will say it was longer than 2 hours, but it was worth it. It really was. And that was the brand new James Bond movie, Skyfall. And needless to say, a character does die in this movie.
Dude, you're so behind. That's 2 years old.
Hey, no, it came out this year, so no, I'm good.
It did not come out this year.
Yeah, it did.
Did not.
Don't make me look it up. You're making me look it up.
I'm looking it up. It came out last year. It's 2012. I saw this movie last year, not this year.
Okay, so I'm... It doesn't... actually, almost...
November 2012. It's a year old.
2012. Wow. Man, has it really been a year already?
Yeah, I saw that movie in December or January last year. I can't remember which. But it was fun. I liked that one. That one was the first of the Bond movies with Daniel Craig in it that I actually liked. I didn't like the other two before that. It was like, they're kind of like... He's a guy who blows things up. Whatever.
Well, I was wondering what they were trying to do with his character within the other ones, because he seemed like a more caring Bond than the others did, you know, and I wasn't sure what direction they were taking his character with, and I almost think that you could say this is a reboot of the James Bond series.
I would tend to agree that this particular movie, Skyfall, was an excellent reboot because it keeps the cool things from the original Bond movies and then brings in those other elements that they tried to do. I think as a reboot, this would have been should have been the movie that they did first. And then they could have gone, oh, okay, by the way, this guy is just more extreme in this style. And it's like, okay, well, then I would have bought into it. But the movies that they did, the other two before this, it was, for me, as far as I was concerned, watching those movies was more about, oh, look, it's the man from Uncle or something, and he's, like, extreme. And, oh, look, he runs across things really fast and jumps and dives and gets hurt, and the guy's unkillable because why? No, everybody else would be dead by now.
Well, I'm not. I have to go back and look through the history of the Bond films, but I know Casino Royale was actually
comedy.
Well, it was a remake from the original one.
Yes, the original Casino Royale was a comedy.
Comedy, exactly. So it was a remake. So I'm not sure if Quantum of Solace was a remake, but it was definitely a continuation.
Yeah, Quantum of Solace wasn't a remake. That was new story material.
Yeah. So
and Casino Royale, I think, is the first book too, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, Ian Fleming's had actually, how many books are in the series?
Tons.
Because I was kind of curious. Are we coming to a point where they're going to just start doing remakes now?
Possibly, but they haven't actually done every book that he did. I mean, there's only Bond movies 15, 16, 17 or something like that.
Not according to IMDb. According to this, Bond 24 and 25 are announced. And believe it or not, Daniel Craig is announced to be the Bond.
That doesn't surprise me. But I don't know. I don't know how many Bond movies were. I know there's a bunch of books. I also know that there are some people who say that with the new Daniel Craig versions of the movies, they're more accurate to the books than the Roger Moore and
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery versions of the movies. And that's cool, that's fine. I don't care. I like the Sean Connery and Roger Moore versions of the movies. It's just, that's what I grew up with. That's what I learned what Bond was. Bond. I'm Bond. James Bond.
What would be awesome, and I'm just saying, this would really be awesome, is if they did a Bond movie where the villain is an ex-Bond.
Or all three of the ex-Bonds.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Sure, four.
Yep. Well,
Pierce Brosnan, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, and the guy who's dead.
Well, there's another one.
George Lazenby.
Yeah, there's still another one.
Oh, there was another one after Pierce, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think he only did that one.
Yeah. Well, we don't care about him because nobody liked that movie.
I know somebody who does, but I won't mention her name.
She's not relevant to this discussion because she's not here.
There you go.
And it's my show, damn it, and I'll say whatever the hell I want. Which, on that note, means it's time for Intermezzo Edge!
Welcome the first lady to try and qualify in an A-dragster for an NHRA competition, Shirley Ball Downing. Cha-cha, call it cha-cha.
Ba-ra-pa-pum-pum. And for anybody listening, that was L7, the song called Shirley, about Shirley Muldowney, the first woman who did drag racing and was actually good about it. And I like the whole line, what are you doing on the drag strip? Winning.
Yeah.
Love that line. That whole thing, the delivery in that song was like, oh, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be up baking goods or stuff? What are you doing here? Winning. What are you doing here? I would have loved to have been around when she did that. That's that whole female empowerment thing, you know? Women doing things like men because they can do that.
Oh, well, what are you doing here?
Yelling a lot! And now, we're going to get to the meat of tonight's show. I thought it'd be fun to talk about the evolution of horror entertainment because, you know, I am fascinated by horror and scary stuff and stories and characters and content in general for the mind created to keep the synapses and things going ping, ping.
Like Sharknado?
Sharknado was a piece of crap.
Thank God. See, and you keep wanting me to watch it, even though it's back on Netflix.
But yeah, I do. I want everybody to watch it so that everybody can see how much of a piece of crap it was. But it was a funny piece of crap that I don't know if the guys who originally made it were deliberately trying to just be, hey, yeah, it's a piece of crap. We're not embarrassed about it. We deliberately put this piece of... I've mentioned the movie Thanksgiving before, right?
Yes.
They deliberately said, we are making a bad movie. That is our objective. We have a very small budget. We're doing a bad, horrible movie. And we're going to have fun doing it. And if you guys buy it and watch it, enjoy it too, well, bully for us and everybody else too.
Well, I still say the best dinner scene for any holiday is Santa's Sleigh?
Santa's Sleigh.
Yeah.
Yes, with the whole... Yeah, we've talked about that one before. Yeah. However... I'm going to throw into some concept ideas. I'm going to go into some big concept ideas here about the evolution of horror entertainment. One of the things that I see about horror movies and books and even comic books and everything else is that a lot of the horror can be clearly defined by a couple of basic concepts. Shock, awe, discomfort. Horror tends to be mostly, in general, about, ooh, can I shock you with something really weird-looking, scary-looking, out of the blue, gimmicky, oh, loud noise, bam, shocked you. Or then there's the awe factor. It's like, oh my God, that could really, I could see, oh geez, wah, ow. And then there's discomfort level, which comes into play as, that's sick. That's, no, dude, that's gross. That's, no, oh my God, that's really, no, that's wrong.
Like Poltergeist.
No, that was a little bit of combination of all three, but yes. The discomfort level. Have you seen I Spit on Your Grave 2 yet?
No, I barely watched the first one.
Yeah, that one is really... There's not much to the shock and awe. It's more the discomfort than anything else in those movies. And
discomfort, yeah.
Yeah, the whole torture... Yeah, I'm going to go in a sequence here. I got a sequence. I got notes here. I got things in comments that I have here. So
what? You organized tonight?
Of course I'm organized tonight. I'm organized every night. It just doesn't sound like it sometimes. Sometimes that organization is do show.
Yeah. Well, no. That's
all you need.
That's right.
Way to go. So, one of the things I would say that the beginning of... everybody who likes to point to the origin of story building and concepts of creating that kind of intellectual content, they point at the Bible. And the Bible has all sorts of really great stories, but it's also got some horror stories. I mean, dude, look what happened to Cain and Abel. That was some messed up stuff right there.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of other stories. And it's been so long since I read the Bible, I don't really know most of the stories, but I know there's a bunch in there. So from there, we have a lot of stories that have passed down through the history and the ages that are word of mouth. They're culture-derived stories that talk about, hey, don't go into that area of the woods because that area of the woods has the evil ghosty-type things and they might eat your soul.
But that's my shortcut home.
I know, but your soul may not be with you when you get there. Oh. Which is fine, if that's your choice.
We don't need it anyways, do we?
Exactly. It's superfluous in the least anyways. So going into that route, the written horror really, for me, as far as I could say, starts with the Grimm fairy tales.
The original.
The original Grimm fairy tales. Because the Brothers Grimms were not, well, they were nice people, but the stories that they were retelling were basically folk tales. And, what the heck was the word? I had the word in my head and it went away. They were cautionary advisory tales, / they were meant to teach kids, young people, what was right and wrong. Without actually having to get into too much detail or whatever, they basically were stories of, well, if you go and do this with the big bad wolf, you're going to become his dinner. Don't do that.
You know? Is that along the same path that we're not supposed to walk down?
Yeah. Cautionary tales. So they became scary, and then Disney got hold of them and made them lame. And then other places, like Zinescope and other companies, got them back and made them scary again. It's like, all right, I like them. So another facet that I would say that it continues into the evolution of horror entertainment is the noir, pulp noir stuff. Here we've got whole sorts of whodunit, mystery stuff, suspense going on, styles of video, styles of writing, and styles of imagery that are creating all kinds of shadow play, all kinds of ways to look at things visually and think, that's neat. That's nifty. It's like, ooh, what's going on? And then the gun slowly comes out of the shadow. Bam, 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 shoots the guy. That's scary too. But visually, it's creating a new medium and a new method to look at the story from a way that's visually oriented, as opposed to, oh, if I take the dark path and go through the dark forest and the wolf is at the end and he's got my lunch, will I become his lunch? Ah.
Well, it's as scary as seeing the werepig in nothing but a trench coat on No Pants Night.
I ain't nothing gonna say nothing about that. Nothing to say about that, because that falls into a different level of my next level of comments. Not the next one, but 1, 2, 3 down, I think. So the next one after pulp noir for me is monster movies. I don't know about everybody else, but in the 60s, when I was a wee kiddie, I was in the 70s, whatever. I watched lots of monster movies. Godzilla, King Kong, all these things. That used to be our horror movies when we were growing up. That style. One of my favorite movies from that time period is a movie called Them, about giant ants. I love that movie. I have to find that again and watch it. But monster movies, that was what it was all about. It was monster movie. It was all about, oh, look, it's a big scary monster. Oh, look, it's a small scary monster. Oh, look, it's a monster. Oh, look, monster did things. Great. Now we got vampires. Now we got zombies. Now we got Frankenstein. Now we got da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's the whole thing about monsters were the point of the scary. It's about demonizing something that says, hey, look, that thing over there is the bad thing. You know it's the bad thing. Therefore, you can be ready for the bad thing, but will you be really ready for the bad thing? Because the bad thing might just screw you up in the middle corner there and come out of you at left field. You don't even know what the hell's going on. But I will still say I love Frankenstein. The movie was awesome.
Well, the original one or the was it Mary Shelley's?
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the original movie.
Yeah, okay, the original one.
The black and white.
I was hoping you weren't saying the new one.
Which new one?
Well, it's somewhat not new anymore, but the, yeah.
Do you mean Frankenstein's Army?
No, that
dude,
one.
Dude, that movie's funny.
No, it was another one that they kind of redid a few years
that
back.
That was the one with De Niro in it?
Yeah.
Yes, that one is actually based on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and could have been a lot better, but could have been a lot worse. What you don't know is that there's another one coming out in January. Frankenstein, what the hell is it? Frankenstein Lives? Yeah, I think it's called Frankenstein Lives. Frankenstein Monster, obviously, Mary Shelley, lived in the Arctic, blah, 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 cold, frozen, but came back. Now he's a hunter of demons, and it's in the modern world. Visually stunning-looking movie. Haven't seen much more other than the previews on it. It's like, ooh, I'll watch this. Angels and Demons and Frankenstein, oh my.
It sounds interesting so far.
Yeah. So, back on mediums and the evolution of horror, as far as I'm concerned. Then we have comic books. And comic books bring in another depth and angle to it, because now you can present both a visual medium, a noir-esque medium, and you can bring the fairy tale story concepts into it, and you can present them in a simple, easy-to-consume package. Comic books, aimed at, originally at young kids, and then at older kids now, and you start with people like Bernie Wrightson doing Swamp Thing. And you've got the EC comics, you've got Weird Fantasy, Weird House of Mystery, House of Secrets, all these other odd, creepy, eerie, Vampirella, all these really cool titles that have developed out since the 60s that have all of these, let's see how weird we can make this story and in what direction can it go. Can we push that barrier? Well, apparently they could, because at that point, back in the 60s, 50s? 50s, they had the Senate House Committee, and thus the Comics Code was born, screwing up everybody who loved comics back then, virtually putting Harris and a few other comic Warren publications into almost bankruptcy, because, oh, they were the guys that put out the stuff that, oh, that was just too nasty for people, because it was like, oh my god, look at that stuff. They're talking about killing people and, like, blood splatter on the walls and stuff. It's like, oh, that's just too violent. We can't have that. the Comics Code was the biggest joke in the world, because you know how EC Comics and Warren Comics and that got around it?
Mm-hmm.
Magazine format. Oh, great. We're not a comic book. We're an adult magazine.
Oh, that works.
Yes. So that's how they got around the comic book code.
See, that's so perfect.
It fit.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about that.
It's like, I've got a bunch of eerie and creepy comics. And it's like, wow, this is cool. Look at this stuff. It's like, wow, that's messed up. That is cool. some of my favorite artists are those guys. And like Bernie Wrightson is one of my favorite artists, along with... oh, why am I forgetting his name right now? Crap.
Kirby. Yeah, I was, Jack Kirby. I was not good on the names.
Names are always my worst thing.
Yeah.
But Bernie Wrightson was always great with Swamp Thing, and he's done a few other comics since then as well, and it's back to the same idea. He does pencil artwork to die for. It's like, you can see all of these different little shades of lines and everything, and it's like, dude, that just looks beautiful. He has a, there's a book out there that I have, it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but Bernie Wrightson has done a bunch of full page artwork based on the Frankenstein monster and stuff. I think he did a comic book based on that as well called I, Frankenstein. Never finished, only 4 issues.
Hmm.
But yeah, his artwork, I love his artwork. He's also the original artist for Sandman.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
Kirby's originally Sandman. Bernie Wrightson was always Frankenstein and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Gotcha.
He did some concept arts for the Spider-Man movie as well, for the Green Goblin, but that never got used. A lot of art. Beautiful. If you ever get check out his stuff, it's beautiful stuff.
Let me ask you this, because you classified three different parts for horror films. And I'm curious about one that, and we're going to the original. We're not coming up to the today's times, but the original Psycho shower scene kill that didn't have your surprise element of surprise, because obviously you saw the shadow coming.
No, that's part of the shock and awe.
So you would call that shock and awe?
Yes.
Okay. See, I was curious about that, because the music wasn't even one of those ones that just bah, and you're just scared. I mean, it was all perfect. Well,
that's the gimmick. Using music or using not music or using the side or side or up or down sudden transitional element into the video, that's the gimmick. That's not the actual shock and awe.
Oh, okay.
Shock and awe is really about what it is you're presenting. If the in the movie elements, and one of my favorite examples of music being used to really mess you up in the movie is in 28 Days Later. Guy wakes up from the coma, he's in the hospital, he's all alone, doesn't see anything going on, so he's slowly walking around. There's like silence in the theater, and it's just basically him going, hello, walking around. And as the movie progresses, for the first 10, 15 minutes or so, it's like dead silent. But there's a very slow build-up of music. It just goes quietly, quietly, it starts to build up, then he gets to that car. the car alarm goes off, and bam, the music starts.
And thus does the zombies.
Well, then the zombies start up in a couple of minutes after that, but you get this whole really weird scene that's going on that everybody's been programmed for most of the time watching Hollywood movies. Oh yeah, I got music. Going through the movie, and they're always playing the movie. And they were deliberately mind screwing with you in this movie by not doing any music and having the music gradually build up to a scene and then hit.
Right. And by the way, don't watch that movie without watching the first one.
I'm talking about the first one. 28 Days Later is the first one.
Oh, what was the other one?
28 Weeks Later.
Okay, that's the one I saw. I got the names backwards.
Yeah. The second one makes no sense if you don't see the first one.
Mm-hmm. But the second
still fun,
one,
but
the second one did a similar setup too. I mean, they didn't have the music for quite a while.
Yes. And there's a couple of other movies I've watched recently, and I think I've commented on this before, where they do the same thing. And I think in a movie, if you're going to create a good environment for a movie, the music is part of it. And if you're not thinking about the music that you're building into the visuals, you're losing the potential to create that shock and awe. And I mean, I look at some movies and say, oh crap, they just do this whole guy jumping out of a thing in the corner, and it's like, ah, yeah, it's really a cheap gimmick, and that can be done well. I liked what they did in The Conjuring with that, where the thing jumps off the top of the dresser or whatever. It's like, hey, I wasn't expecting that. That one actually came out at me and made sense. But some movies just throw that in, like Paranormal Activity. They do that all the time, and it drives me up the wall. I really couldn't stand that in the movie. It's just, why do you waste so much time and gimmick on that gimmick? Yeah. Use others. There are many techniques that you can use to scare the crap out of somebody just intellectually.
Well, I think they need to bring back an element that a lot of people felt was like the best portion of horror. And if you remember, well, Hitchcock was great too. But before Hitchcock, Nosferatu was one of the best films, because that shadow, that creepy shadow, is really gave people chills, and it's still, in a sense, from studies that people have been asked on horror films, they still say that that particular shadow scene still tends to creep people out.
Well, it creeps some people out. It never creeped me out. It's like watching The Wizard of Oz. Everybody always was, look, flying monkeys, scary. It's like, dudes, what are you talking about? I laughed my ass off at that.
Yeah, I kind of laughed at that too.
Like, I couldn't help it. It was like they were funny looking, and they were like, I love it. Evil monkeys flying. You guys are all dead. Yep. So, I'm going to throw out three more parts of my evolution of horror entertainment.
All right.
Slasher films.
Yeah.
Now, slasher films from the 80s added another element to the horror genre that was, hey, morality. Oh, that was the word I was trying to remember earlier. Morality play. Oh, if you have sex on screen, you're dead. Okay.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it is adding the cheap, quick horror of, ooh, guy running around, slash, oh, crap, there's your shock and awe, because he's like now splattered in bits and pieces all over the place. But at the same time, it is creating a very commercial element of it, which is now making it viable as a medium because there is a market for it. All right?
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So the next evolution after that is what we call J-pop.
I don't know this one.
Japanese horror.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the next step above slasher films. It's, you wanted a slash? Oh, dude, what Freddy and Jason did in their movies? Oh, they just cut some guy up and a little bit of blood spurts. Nah, we're going to Japan, where what they do is they put a fish hose through the guy, and he splatters all over the entire building.
Yeah.
There's a scene that I really love in a movie called Robo Geisha, where the monster-y type thing was a house and just turned into a giant monster, and it punches a building, and it bleeds.
Oh, wow.
It bleeds a lot. And it's like, buildings don't bleed. But that's just funny.
Reminds me, it's on the list. I'm putting it on there for you tonight. I'm going to watch it tonight if I can. Mutant Girl Squad.
Oh, man, that's a fun movie. But that is J-pop. So, slasher films and J-pop take the whole scary, slashery type, gory, shock and awe stuff and discomfort and amp it up some. making it, oh, now it's not only a commercial element, but it's a, ooh, this is fun. Let's see how wicked and how wacky they can go. And now we're pushing the envelope of decency and, ooh, cool, neat stuff and whatever. Then we get into the next evolution, which is one I don't like so much, which is called torture porn. And that's the level of the horror now, which is, as far as I'm concerned, is just drawing on that discomfort side and not really so much in shock and awe for the shock and awe sense, but it's, let's see how discomforting we can make you by doing something really, really not so nice. Let's. Yeah. One of the creepiest scenes I'd actually seen was in House of Wax with Paris Hilton. Besides Paris Hilton being in the movie and that being creepy in and of itself, was a scene where the girl is stuck to a chair or whatever, she's tied down, and the little guy, creepy guy from the back, she wasn't tied down, she was just sitting in a chair, and the little guy is creeped up behind the chair and sliced her hamstrings. Dude, that is messed up. But
yeah, but that's kind of reality on slasher films, because yes, like Scream, you know, the original Scream, I really wish they would release it too. There is an original version of Scream that was a lot bloodier and gorier than what you actually saw.
Yeah. I'm happy to have seen the movie I saw, because that was funny.
Well, the original version, and I actually, believe it or not, my mother actually saw it.
Uh-oh.
And told me about it. But she said that in the original version, when they slice the guy open, you see intestines and all fall out.
Guts and biddly bits blown all over the place.
The only thing is this is how you know how real this is you can still hear them when they change the camera. They actually change camera, but you can still hear it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in the original film, the original Scream movie, it was very gory. And they got to tone it down.
Yeah, well, that's just so that they could have the rating so it could be acceptable in movie theaters. So, those being my levels of horror evolution, that also applies to the written concept, the books, the comic books, and everything else. And right now, I think we're getting into the stage in horror development where we're going to start seeing retro coming back. We've already started seeing slasher movies. I mean, the Chucky movie that came out this year, wow, that was like going back to the 80s for a slasher movie again, but done well again. Mm-hmm. So now we're mixing all the best parts of modern technology, modern cinematography, to that cool element of the slasher film and making a good film again. And I think we're going to start seeing more of this at the same time as we're going to see a lot more of the crap come out as well. But that's just me. But we've only got like 2 minutes left in the show, and I wanted to throw a couple of throwouts at. I wanted to remind everybody, go and check out Magic Farmers Incorporated. We have a new episode that went up this week. It's all about being at home, in a friendly environment, watching the news.
Make sure you have plenty of pins.
Yes, with ink in them. And coming up after this show, we've got Free Pie with... Who's on the guest there on their Free Pie show there, Mr. Edub?
Well, two magazine owners who would definitely know about this, and that is Miss Joan and Topher, who will be talking fashion this year.
Fashion. And after that, we've got Mental Candy, and Joan apparently has on with her DJ Evil Bastard. I just like saying that name. It's a fun name. And I just want to thank everybody for coming out to the show and listening, and anybody else who listens to it in recording. Hey, how you doing? Come on back again. Bye.
Bye.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.